women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. I'm Becky Carter.
And I'm Megan Schreiber. And you're listening to episode number one, Getting to Know Us. So, Becky, do we let our listeners know how we know each other?
Well, it feels a little awkward because I feel like I live in La La Land, right?
Right.
I know you from Instagram.
Which, if my children heard that, they would think that is bizarre because I have about 6 posts on Instagram. And my Instagram account was started to just keep an eye on my kids. So right. I guess we have thanks, though, to one particular person who perhaps would prefer to remain anonymous, who really kind of brought us all together, just following other Catholic women who were seeking to authentically live out their faith. And we just kind of all found each other.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. People say, well, now, who are you doing this podcast with? Well, her name is Megan, and she lives in Pennsylvania. And I live in Arkansas. That's a little bit of a distance. And then I'll say, well, I just know her from Instagram. But she's real because I've talked to her on the phone. I've seen her on Skype.
That's right. And you know what I think is so cool is, without a doubt, it was a working of the Holy Spirit, right? We connected, we scheduled a time to talk, and maybe in the first 3 minutes, we right away said, you know, what's your dream?
Yeah.
Right? I don't normally open a conversation with that, with that question with somebody.
Right.
So, and as it turned out, we both realized that we were being called in the same direction. And I was like, now I know what's going on. The Holy Spirit's a little bit of a schemer, but yeah. it was pretty cool to be a part of that.
And,
yeah.
Well, I would say that about a year ago, I was talking to my husband's cousin, and we have delightful conversations. And he has been in radio since he was in college, and he does podcasts now. And he made the comment. He said, Becky, if you ever do a podcast, I would totally listen. And I laughed at him because I'm Becky. I live in Arkansas, and I homeschool my 5 kids. I'm like just me. And I laughed, and he said, you have a fabulous life. You know, he's trying to sell it to me. But anyway, the moment he said it, I literally felt the seed get planted. Hmm. If you've ever had that experience where you're laughing, right? And you're like, oh, but I felt it. I know. Which has happened, but it was about a year ago, and I just let it get fertilized and grow, and I walked kind of with my hands and my heart open, and just waited. And when I met you, and your story is a little similar, mm-hmm. I just knew, oh my, this is okay. Yes, yes, Lord.
That's so awesome. And you know what I love? The open hands and the open heart, right? And when we're waiting, that's hard, right? Because we sometimes want to work on our time and not God's time, and we know how different those time frames are. And I think that's a great lesson for everybody to learn, is to wait with an open heart and open hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I kind of didn't want to do it, so waiting was fine.
Mm. Yeah, isn't that funny? And right when you're feeling a little resistant, like, okay, that sounds interesting, but you might have the wrong person, right? You know, you're saying, right. But I'm Becky. It's like, yeah, that you are Becky. You're a daughter of Jesus. You know, you're a daughter of the Son. I mean, you know, son, you're the daughter of the King. So why wouldn't he have a specific plan for you?
Right,
because he does for all of us. And all of those plans look completely different.
Yeah, which is why we are uniquely called to live out our feminine vocation. Mm. So why did you know that you were supposed to do a podcast?
Mm. Well, probably about 3 years ago, really have been placed on my heart this need to minister to families and the need to really seek to fortify our domestic churches. And that didn't come because things were going really well for us. You know, that was driven out of a need in my own home. And I think there's some, you know, kind of rawness and realness in that too, is we contend as Catholics and as moms, no matter where we are in our mothering journey or even just our feminine journey, we can be a part of a community and yet also feel pretty isolated, because I think the things that we really, really need to talk about aren't necessarily being talked about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I so often think of St. John Paul II, right? So goes the family, so goes the world. And how critical our domestic church is. And what does that really mean? Mm-hmm. So this mm-hmm. is something that had been placed on my heart for a really long time. And it felt right, like you were saying. And I also had a lot of questions around it, in that, well, what does that mean and what does that look like? I know we need to tend to it, but I don't really know how to tend to it. And how do we nurture that and grow that as we're all trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was one of those things. And then I got to the point where I really felt like I was dragging my feet. You know, we were very fortunate to host World Meeting of Families here in Philadelphia, which was phenomenal. And I had pulled my high school girls out to attend, because they had a youth track, which was awesome. And my then junior in high school turned to me and she said, gosh, I wish we could just live every day like this. And you realize, like, they're hungry. They want depth. They want truth. They can handle it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, if we're not doing this in our home all the time, we're missing it. So there were a lot of things, but I felt as if I was, I often say, like, I'm usually late to the party on a lot of things. And, you know, but look, in hindsight, though, the timing was perfect. Because as soon as you and I chatted, and that call to minister to families while we're really ministering to ourselves in the midst of it,
yeah,
was so clear. And I thought, what do we have to lose? Let's just, yeah. You know, yeah. all sometimes the Lord is asking us to do is say yes. That's it.
Yeah.
He'll figure out the rest, and he'll, if he's going to guide us, he'll provide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love how you say that we're learning it along the way. There's so many kind of, I don't know, I hate to use the word buzzwords, but buzzwords that we've, you know, intentionally used in our mission statements: joy, thriving, freedom, friendship. I mean, there's some really key words there. Mm-hmm. Domestic church. I feel like, okay, I know what that word means, kinda, but do I really know what that word means? And so I am so excited to dig into these words so that I myself can grow and have a better understanding, so that I can embrace those things. So this is definitely not a... I've got joy under control, because I certainly don't. It's something that I have pursued for a very long time. And I've really seen the Lord working intentionally in that way. Mm-hmm. He's calling me to joy in my vocation. And I know he is, and he is, I mean, it's about a year and a half, I would say. He's really, really been intentional. Well, and to be honest, I've been seeking it. Mm-hmm. You know, when is the Lord not intentional?
Right.
But I have been open some seasons more than others, but I'm open and I want to know, because to know joy is to know the Lord. Mm. And I'm excited.
Right. That's right.
I'm so ready to grow through this, and, you know, we're in the trenches together.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is like, there's so much to unpack. There's, you know, even just talking about joy, and gosh, we probably need a whole podcast on that, is that, you know, I think I had my own definition of what joy meant.
Yeah.
And it was really different than Paul's definition of joy. Mm-hmm. And to really kind of sit with that meaning, his meaning of joy, you know, as he's shackled and jailed and realizing that, no, the joy is there because Christ is there. And our willingness to embrace that joy in all circumstances, that's a hurdle for me, but I'm trying.
I'm really trying.
And, you know, like you, I am really excited for the growth that I feel the Lord's asking me to step out into by doing and participating and really revealing ourselves, you know. Probably by the end of this, there's going to be a lot of revelation on how much I don't have it figured out, but that's an opportunity for growth for me. Yeah. And I never want to be afraid to grow.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So joy is one of our topics. So, and that should be, we're talking about making that one of our very, very first topics, because we got to understand what that is before we can pursue it. Right.
Right. Or just embrace it because it's there.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So when we think about, Becky Carter and Megan Schreiber, for people who are listening, you know, in a soundbite, is there any way you can maybe describe your faith journey?
Sure, I can try.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, and I was raised Catholic. We went to church every Sunday morning, but I could never really explain my faith. So when I met a tall, good-looking man who knew the Bible better than me and treated me really well, better than most guys had ever treated me before, I wasn't going to let faith get in the way. So anyway, I left the church when he and I got married. We did not get married in the church. And we went on an evangelical, multi-denominational journey for 17 years. And on our 15th wedding anniversary, we had our marriage blessed by the church, sacramentalized. And he was brought into the church as a Catholic. And so he got slathered with some grace on that day. Mm. He received his first reconciliation, his first communion, his confirmation, and the sacrament of marriage. I think that's it.
Wow.
All on that one day. And so that was about 4 years ago is when we started this journey back into Catholicism. And it's just been the most painful, yet most beautiful encounter with Jesus that I cannot even, it's very hard to put into words. Mm-hmm. You brought up Paul, and when he's shackled and, you know, being tormented for Christ. Obviously I didn't experience that type of physical pain, but you know, I lost a lot of things of this world, but the joy that I had in Christ alone. Yeah, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Right, right. Gosh, that was good. That was a really good soundbite. And, you know, what an amazing journey, right? You know, 17 years away and then 4 years back.
Yeah.
And to be so steeped in the truth and the goodness and the beauty of our faith is grace. That's total grace, right?
Yeah.
Just amazing. I mean, you know, and it's funny, and I know your story, and when I listen to it that way, I think, oh my gosh, we're so different, right? But I mean, we have so many similarities. But, you know, my, you know, journey was essentially, I was a cradle Catholic. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, going to Catholic school. If I had to describe my faith journey, I would say it didn't make sense in that I, again, raised Catholic, went to Catholic school, went to a Catholic college, and I never left my faith. I attended Sunday Mass all through college. Like, I was not going to miss Mass. And yet, I was living such a lifestyle that was so countercultural to a life of a Christian that it made no sense. So, you know, it's like, on one hand, I'm saying this and I'm not going to miss Sunday Mass, but on the other hand, I'm living this way. And you can't go on very long living kind of a disconnected faith and not feel like a phony, right? Mm-hmm. So through hardships and struggles and challenges, I believe that, you know, I had really what I call a radical encounter with Jesus that just changed it. And it was, here I go to St. Paul again. But literally, it was like those scales came off my eyes, right? Mm. And you're like, mm-hmm. whoa, what have I been doing? How have I been living? Like, and when you have that grace and you can see, that's a call. That's another yes to be answered, right? And it meant a lot, like you, like sacrificing in some ways, and yet in other ways, you gain everything. Yeah. And, you know, so often I believed that as a Catholic and the journey that I had is either really, really uncommon, you know, and I was that 1% of a knucklehead who was living this way, or it's probably really common, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. I think about kind of my generation, maybe. I'm 47. Mm-hmm. And I look at some of my friends who, like me, were raised Catholic. And we had this kind of vision of church, right? And the first step of it was like behave, right? You know, you behave and you're part of church and you follow this and this is the way we operate. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find your belief, right? And then through that you'll belong. And my radical encounter with Jesus said just the opposite, right? It was a sense of belonging first. It was a sense of me understanding who Jesus was and that intimate relationship with him. And it was only through that that my belief strengthened. And it was only through that that my behavior changed.
That's awesome.
Right? And gosh, so it's kind of like, whoa, but that's what Jesus does, right? He takes something and he just flips it totally around and it makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that was 30 seconds or less or a sound bite, but that's...
Well, either was mine. It's fair.
Yeah, because, you know, we're on a journey.
Right.
We're still journeying.
All the way.
And I know, you know, we talked about joy, and I'm just so curious as to what brings you joy.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about this question, and it's just family time for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it becomes those simple things. Cause I was thinking about that too. And certainly there was a time in my life, like joy meant something really big, like a trip or whatever. And then realizing, oh my gosh, there's those snippets. There's those moments where you're just totally encapsulated in this moment of happiness that you can't put words on. You know, it's that, and most of mine comes from my family as well. And, you know, it could be talking with my teenager and maybe I've walked her through a resolution and just that look she gives me, like, thanks, you know, and realizing, like, that to me, that's total joy. You know, maybe the first hour of helping her get to that place was not easy, but to see the relief and the direction and the authentic happiness, those are all those little things. Yeah, and then I have really, really, you know, materialistic little moments of joy, like I'm going to treat myself to a really great coffee today. You know, those are okay too, right?
Yeah.
Those are good. I mean, you know, I think about Thomas Aquinas talking about, you know, the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, you know, we're material beings.
Yeah.
We're material beings. We need to touch, to see, to taste. That's how God made us. So it makes total sense that Jesus would come to us in a way that we consume. We physically consume him, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Right. And so yeah, I had to say that probably through some of my journey, and really saying, okay, I need to be holy. I white knuckled that thought, you know, I white knuckled that. And I was still stuck in that behavior mode, right? Of, yeah. Okay, so holiness means I got to be really good. And really good is I'm going to sacrifice. And I'm going to sacrifice till I'm falling down, right? And you know what? That doesn't do anybody good, right? I can't mm-hmm. be the wife that I need to be. I can't be the mother that I need to be. I can't be the friend. So I started to learn in that discernment process of how God speaks to me and sadly, how the old boy gets to me. Mm-hmm. Because those are two true realities. And it became very clear to me that it will always start with something good, sacrifice or holiness, right? And then the old boy just has a way to just twist it just slightly, 1%, just twist it at a different angle where I start to go, oh, you know, I start to think, okay, that seems reasonable. And maybe I should be miserable while I'm trying to be holy, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, what? This is so not what God wants. So yeah. I find myself, and now I'm going to C.S. Lewis, but you know how every day, we start every day with our commitment to Jesus like we hadn't done it the day before, right? I verbatim, mm-hmm. I'll have to pull up his quote, but essentially that's what it is. It's a constant renewal. And a lot of why I've loved consecration to Jesus through Mary is it's I wake up and it's totus tuus and it's that constant renewal. Mm-hmm. And there's joy in that. There's mm-hmm. there's joy in that. So joy can be found in a lot of ways, even through a absolutely. Cup of coffee. A good cup of coffee.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Not a bad one, right?
No, not a bad one. Mm-mm.
But you could offer up that bad cup of coffee,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Exactly. You turn it into a prayer.
So what's your favorite way to encounter Jesus? You've talked a lot about and just that, what gives you joy. Mm. I mean, really, right? Encountering Jesus is joy, and yep. joy is encountering Jesus. So the Eucharist.
Encountering Jesus. That's one of those questions. It's really big. How do I encounter Jesus? I love adoration. I love sitting face to face with Jesus. I love the Eucharist. I mean, there's the sacramental components that create encounters over and over again for me, which are awesome. And then there's those unexpected encounters, right? Where, oh, well, I have to go to the grocery store, right? And I can view it as a totally mundane task, because for me, shopping for 8 people is a mundane task. And I feel like I have to do it every other day. But when I'm in that moment of thinking of him and just kind of resting in the Holy Spirit, I find that I can encounter him there, right? And maybe it's in another person. Maybe it's just in the way we communicate and interact with each other. And so I love both of the encounters, like the sacramental encounters, which can be so profound, and I love being able to hold a holy hour and just sit with him. And then I also just love that encounter that is led by the Holy Spirit, is unexpected, and is really incredible. Mm-hmm. And I find when I can get past myself, which is very hard a lot of the times, honestly, and I can maybe stay out of the Holy Spirit's way, the encounters with Jesus are everywhere.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but yeah, definitely encountering Jesus in the sacraments. You know, you're talking about Jesus created us to be, we're tangible. You know, we have senses for a reason. And if we're created in his image, he's going to meet us where we are and how he created us. Mm. But I absolutely love those chance encounters, those moments of love and coming across someone, like you said, in the grocery store. Maybe it's someone I know, maybe it's someone I don't know, or a conversation that happens amongst friends or Instagram. I mean, encountering Jesus is a lot on Instagram at times, you know, having these conversations on the side with people that we're only seeing pictures of. But if you have a conversation with them on the phone or like private messaging or something, it's one of those neat, you said it, you stepped out of the way and you let the Holy Spirit do it. And we are encountering the hands and feet of Christ in others by serving, by loving, by listening, by just being with each other. I do love adoration. I didn't know what it was when we first came back to the church, but I definitely made it a practice. And so, yeah, I do. I cannot say that I'm always in tuned and blah, 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 but I don't do it perfectly by any means, but I'm committed to going because I trust Jesus is there and he's loving on me.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, having grown up Catholic, I always knew what adoration was, but when my paradigm was that behave, believe, belong, you know, I'd be in adoration and I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be with you. And I had maybe, I can't remember, it could have been like an 11 p.m. slot at our parish. And I had little ones. So 11 p.m. was like 3 in the morning. And I could barely keep my eyes open, right? And my head would nod. And I would hear like, you could barely stay awake with me, right? Right, what he was saying in the garden. And I would think, oh my gosh, I'm so terrible at this. I'm so terrible at this. And then, you know, after the paradigm shift with that radical intimate encounter with Jesus, the belonging, it was like, I was okay. Like if my head drifted, I thought, what better place to fall asleep than in the arms of Jesus? He's just happy I'm here. I'm happy I'm here. So oftentimes when Catholic friends of mine say that they want to participate in adoration and they say, but I don't really know how to do it. That always kind of throws me for a little bit because, you know, there really isn't a perfect way. Everybody's going to have a different style and that's the beauty of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's that sitting with Jesus, fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in our midst, staring at him, him staring at us, him seeing us, and whatever your heart is being called to, right? Mm-hmm. And if he's calling you to take a little nap, that's okay. I think we're so hard on ourselves. You know, we really are. So, you know, adoration is just such a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to sit with Jesus, encounter him, and just let him love you.
Yeah, absolutely. When we do that, I know we're going to hit that topic for an episode. And I have some great analogies that have really, really helped me in that, you know, what do I do? So I have some great analogies. We'll talk about that in our next episode. And, you know, just to back you up, sister, I had a 9 o'clock hour and I could not stay awake. I was good till 9:30. Right. And by 9:35, it was over. And thankfully, one of my most favorite older spiritual mothers was always in there with me. And she's just the most encouraging woman. Okay. So anyway, well, you wanted to talk about what kind of animal we would be. And so we're not going to do that.
Right.
But one quick question.
Yes.
So what's the messiest room in your house right now, today?
Oh, gosh. It is definitely the laundry room. And I have this weird theory. I think that if I walk away from it, it'll get done.
Yeah,
it's just not working.
Well, when you find the laundry fairy service, you let me know.
Exactly. How about you?
Well, our school room is pretty messy. And I think people, if you've been on Instagram at all, have seen that. And it's been that way for about 2 weeks. So, And they've kind of moved into the kitchen with all their Valentine box stuff. And,
it spreads.
Good gravy. That I'll have to put the kibosh on. Okay. Right. So tell me, and you can't really tell me why.
Okay.
Because that'll be a different episode. But so tell me who are your, just the most favorite saints that pop to your head.
Saint Augustine. and St. Padre Pio.
Man, those are some heavy hitters.
How about you?
Okay. So I, of course, love me some St. Mother Teresa. And I'm sure since I run, since I do the Instagram and Facebook, you're going to be seeing a lot of Mother Teresa quotes. But I think her message of love is what we need today in our feminine vocation.
That's great. So only one? You're going to give me one?
Yeah. I mean, I could say Mary.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I was like, how do I pick two saints?
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's a lot. And you know what? Actually, what I think I did was I think I was drawn to the two that have had a most profound impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And then that's for another episode.
That's right.
Right. So so as we wrap up our first episode, and full disclosure, this first episode really was to allow you, the listener, to get a little glimpse into to who we are. But our hope is that as we move forward, we'll be able to very succinctly bring up a topic that you all are experiencing, have a guest on. And we have some pretty amazing guests that we are eyeing, and possibly talk to each other and vet out and unpack some of those topics. So we will have some pretty solid content coming, more than you just hearing about Becky and Megan. And
yes.
Yeah, which is way more interesting. So, and we will really kind of try to wrap up each of our podcasts with a call to action. So as we wrap this up and we've talked about joy, my question for all of you is to ask yourself, how do you uniquely embrace joy in your feminine vocation? You can find us online at our website, thrivinginthetrenches.com. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and we would love to hear from you. We want to hear all about you and questions, topics, anything that you'd like us to unpack, talk about, break open. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. And don't forget to do that whole iTunes thing, right? Where you have to go in and review so people can find us a little more easily. So there's the shameless plug, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, this has been great, and we will visit with you on our next podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming. Oh, whoa.